VOA Sunny Sports, or check out the blog at blogs.voanews.com/sunny. It's the sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's begin with African boxing. Uganda's Commonwealth Games bronze medalist Juma Miro is in a quest to qualify for next year's Tokyo Olympics. In a wide-ranging interview with Magume Davis Rakawinge, Juma talked about his family's love of the fight game and other topics. Their conversation began with Magume asking the 25-year-old Ugandan fighter, "When did you begin boxing?"
I started boxing when I was 5 years old. Yeah, with my dad. My dad was called Ibrahim Juma. He was a boxer too, but by then, when they gave birth to me, then he had to leave boxing. Then he turned into a coach. So he coached only for 7 years. Then he stopped. With my brother, was also born Fazil Juma. He's also a Commonwealth bronze medalist, 2014. Then later on, we joined East Coast. My grandfather started the club. He's called Hussein Khalil. And Hussein Khalil is a gold medalist in a Commonwealth in the same games, Commonwealth Games, 1982, in Brisbane, Australia, yeah.
You started at an early age, at 5, and that was because basically you saw your father box and you loved it.
Yeah.
How was life for you as a young boxer, as someone growing up in a boxing family?
Okay, my father did boxing, and he was pushing us also to do boxing because we were interested in other sports like cricket, because we didn't try the sports, tennis, football, but yet boxing was in our blood. So we decided to go with boxing because boxing was more easier. So it was fun and a smooth journey for us.
What was your first competition, and how old were you, and how did you perform at that?
Yeah, I remember very well. I was 9 years old.
Wow.
And yeah, then my first competition was with my young brother. He was 5 years. 5 years, yeah. So we were doing it like sparring at home because we were the best among the boys. So we were the one entertaining people around. All the fights we were getting draw, yeah.
Fast forward, then you eventually qualified for the Gold Coast 2018 Commonwealth Games, yeah, where you won bronze, yeah, for Uganda. Yeah. Tell us about your experience there at the Commonwealth.
Yeah, before going for the Commonwealth Games, it was tough here in my country because we had a lot of trials. Of course, they had only money to take 5 boxers, and we were 9 boxers. Then they told us, now you boxers, you're very many, and we can't choose because you're all good. So we will go to Tanzania, then we see those people who perform well. Those are the people who will go for the Commonwealth. Then we had to go to Tanzania. Then I had to fight. But my first fight was knockout. My second fight also.
You knocked someone out, yes, or you were knocked?
No, I knocked someone. Yeah, then my second fight also, in the second round, I also knocked someone out. Then third round, because, of course, I was using a lot of power and speed, so I had to injure my hand. Then finals, I couldn't punch, so I was just moving around, like defending myself from my opponent. Then I had to get silver, but lucky I was selected among the team that were going for the Commonwealth Games. I went and saw the people who came on my weight, and I saw the African number one and the one who holds the third position in Africa. Then I was a bit scared. Then I said, then my coach told me, no, you don't have to be scared. Then I said, okay, coach. Then I had to win the fight against the Kenyan, Shafi. Then the next fight was with an Indian guy. But the Indian guy was not so good, but because of the injury I had, and the first fight was too tough for me, because power to say that I take the fight, because that fight was qualifying, it was taking me to the middle bracket. Yeah, it was tough. That's where I was granted for the bronze.
When we received you guys, you guys were driving on top of those vans, yeah. People with a big crowd receiving you. How was it like you coming back and seeing this crowd of Ugandans, for the big, big convoy from Entebbe to Kampala?
I didn't expect that because I was feeling even sad because I saw many countries taking like 100 medals and 80 medals, 30 medals. So Uganda, we had only 6 medals. So I was like, this is going to feel shame back home. We came with a small, but I was happy that at least I saved the boxers. Yeah. But when I reached Entebbe, that's when I saw that if you do well, then they welcome you in a special way. By the way, that thing also motivates others to work hard so that they also be treated the same.
Talking about your boxing experience, recently actually, for the African qualifiers, You actually were fraud. You lost your fight, yes. And you couldn't participate in the qualifiers.
Yeah.
It must have been a big setback. What have you done to overcome that and keep your hopes alive?
Okay, I felt bad before, like, not representing the country in the African champion again. I was supposed to defend my position, but of course I had injury and I kept quiet. That's why I learned if you have injury, you have to rest. So I forced myself to go and fight. My first fight, I fought. I won the fight. Then the second one, it was a pressure because the other boy was lucky. He knocked me down. Then he had to go to the next level. But of course he didn't qualify to go and represent the country where he lost. Then I had to rest for 1 year without competing and just getting treatment for my shoulder. But now at least I'm fine and I'm training hard to see that at least I can go and represent the country at the World Championship and qualify also for the Olympics.
There's a lockdown, you don't have to go to different gyms, there are very few people coming. How are you able to train?
In this lockdown, it's very hard because all the gyms are closed, and at least I'm lucky. I have a friend who is called Musa. He was a kickboxer, I think, like 30 years back, because he retired. So he has a gym at his place. So I usually come here and hit the bag. And also he helped me with some techniques. And when I go back in the evening at home, because this one I do it in the morning. So in the evening, my grandfather Hussein Khalil also holds for me parts, because now we are not allowed in the gyms.
I know you come from a family of boxers. Hussein Khalil, your grandfather, your brother, your dad. But whom would you say, both locally and internationally, is your hero, someone you're looking to for inspiration?
I've seen so many boxers in my life, and I've seen, like, their backgrounds and where they came from, but at least I want to be like Manny Pacquiao internationally, and here back home, I want to be like Sherif Bogere. Yeah, because those are my two boxers that I admire in life here.
Now that we know that the Olympics are for certain for next year, what should we expect from you? What are your goals for the next Tokyo Olympics?
I have to first go for the Olympic qualifiers in France. But I'm ready. I've been training, and I'm ready even now to go for it because I've trained well. They have given me everything. I'm well prepared. So when going, because I've been following up the thing, and I know all the boxers who are coming, they all came to qualify. So I also train to see that at least I be in the international level, because everyone who is there is well prepared. So I've trained enough. I'm just waiting for the day to go and qualify. Then I go represent Uganda, and at least this time I bring gold medal to my country.
Wow. Wish you the luck, my brother.
Yeah, thank you.
Before we end the interview, tell us, for young people who will be listening, those who are younger than you who will be listening to this interview, what's your advice to them, those that are coming up? Because, you know, Africa sometimes, in Africa and Uganda in particular, sometimes people think boxing is really not a good game. The parents will not encourage a kid to go for boxing. You are lucky that your parents were boxers.
Yeah.
What's your message to those kids, and what's your message to the family, their parents?
You know, these days, if you're a boxer, stay and box. Just be focused on your goals and chase your dream. Please, our parents, mothers, and fathers, grandmothers, grandfathers. Boxing is not a bad game. Boxing is just a game. But if you take your boy, or like your son or your daughter, to play boxing, make sure you follow up to see that your son or daughter is in the right hand, like doing the right thing. At least we can see like good example. Like we saw people coming from streets like Manny Pacquiao, and we saw people like Mayweather. So many people like international, they come from down, but when they reach up there, they change their lives. Boxing can change someone's life.
That's Ugandan light flyweight boxer Juma Miro, the 2018 Commonwealth Games bronze medalist. And he spoke with Magume Davis Rakawinj in Kampala, Uganda.
Hello, listeners. My name is Juma Miro, the Commonwealth Games bronze medalist in Australia 2018. Listen to Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
The South African government has approved the resumption of football activities in the country. The approval gives Premier League clubs the go-ahead to start training and host matches behind closed doors. For reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye called Johannesburg, where he reached African football analyst Lunga Kapiso.
I was pleasantly surprised when the Minister of Sports, Arts and Culture, Mr. Nathi Mtuetwa, approved plans by the Premier Soccer League to return to play. I mean, it's great news for South African football fans because it means we can anticipate seeing domestic live football in action again. He did make the announcement saying that he considered all the mitigation strategies and plans in relation to level 3, which is the current level for the Republic of South Africa, with all the risk-adjusted strategies in addressing the COVID-19 pandemic. The minister said that the plans put forward by the PSL have further been subject to analysis by health authorities, including the National Institute of Communicable Diseases, who have recommended that the measures put in place by the Premier Soccer League do meet and in instances also exceed the required protocol for a safe return to training and to play in a biologically safe environment. Now, creating that medical bubble where all teams can be regularly tested and outside interference is reduced, thus reducing the risk of positive cases being introduced into this environment, sounds easy. But when you think about it from a logistics stance, it's not, because there needs to be accommodation that potentially houses all teams and staff. Something like the Sun City Resort here in the north of Johannesburg, Gauteng as a province, which is a 45 to 60 minute bus drive. That holiday resort perhaps could accommodate the entire PSL contingent. Now, all holidaying is on pause in the Republic, and so the resort really can accommodate thousands, usually would be open and ready to provide that kind of accommodation for the Premier Soccer League, provided that it has been medically swept, of course.
What about availability of match venues for the remaining fixtures for the PSL clubs?
And then when you look at the availability of grounds in the province, one can really lean towards Gauteng being the host of the remainder of the fixtures, which the PSL has said it wants to see played out in full. Now, majority of the clubs still have about 6 games to play, with the table leading Kaizer Chiefs with 8, whilst Mamelodi Sundowns, who are 4 points behind in second, have 9 because they've had commitments to continental football. So on each match day, the PSL would need about 8 stadiums for simultaneous games to take place. This is without factoring the first division in the country.
What is the fate of the first division teams regarding logistics and availability of match venues?
Now, if you factor the first division into that equation, and if you look at the resource availability stadium-wise, there aren't too many options with the Northwest and Limpopo regions of the country without capacity for such demand. There have been some suggestions by football fans in the Republic, especially catering to the logistical nightmare that is at hand, that Gauteng or Johannesburg and the KwaZulu-Natal province, also known as Durban to our tourists, are the two leading contenders to host what could potentially see the first division happening in Durban and the Premier League in Johannesburg being the remainder of the season. So stadium-wise in Johannesburg, you have the home of Orlando Pirates, the Orlando Stadium, the Bidvest Wits Stadium, the historic Ellis Park Stadium, the iconic Dobsonville Stadium, Makulong Stadium in the great township of Tembisa, the Rand Stadium in the heart of Johannesburg, as well as the Sinaba Stadium in the east end of Johannesburg. And then to supplement that stadia is the university stadium, such as the one you'll find at the University of Johannesburg, and the Tuck Stadium in Pretoria. Pretoria, which have hosted some top division football in recent times. You also have the home of Mamelodi Sundowns, the Lucas Moripa Stadium in Pretoria. In Durban, you have Moses Mabhida Stadium, the Kings Park Stadium, Sugar Ray Stadium, Princess Magogo Stadium, Chatsworth Stadium, I should say, Kings Velitini Stadium, the Herigwala Stadium, and Mpumalanga Stadium in Hammersdale. Plus, the numbers of cases in terms of COVID-19 cases in that province are low in comparison to Gauteng. And the weather conditions in Durban is another key factor that we must take into consideration, because the province is not as cold as Johannesburg. And in Joburg, we have seen such lows as heavy as -7 degrees on the temperature. So, and that has been over the last 2 weeks. Moses Mabhida, Kings Park Stadium, and the likes could really host National First Division. And then in Johannesburg, you could see it hosting the Premier Soccer League.
That's African football analyst Lunga Kapiso. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Johannesburg, South Africa.
Spotty greetings. I am Lunga Kapiso, an African football analyst. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Please continue to stay safe and avoid contacting COVID-19. Thank you.
Thank you, Lunga. Prince Nesta joins us now with a look at some of the weekend European club football highlights. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. Holders Manchester City enjoyed a 2-0 win over Newcastle in the FA Cup quarterfinals at St. James's Park, thanks to goals from Kevin De Bruyne and Raheem Sterling. Arsenal, winners of a record 13 FA Cups, beat Sheffield United 2-1 early on Sunday to advance, while Ross Barkley came off the bench to send Chelsea to Wembley after cruising to a 1-0 victory at Leicester City. Manchester United defender Harry Maguire also secured a late extra time winner to secure the Red Devils a 2-1 victory over bottom duellers Norwich and send them through to the FA Cup semi-finals. Manchester United will square it off with Chelsea, while Manchester City will face Arsenal in the FA Cup semi-final round scheduled to be played on July 18th to the 19th, with the final being contested on August 1st. The games are scheduled to be held at Wembley Stadium. Real Madrid went 2 points clear at the top of La Liga after grinding out a 1-0 victory at bottom club Espanyol. Casemiro scored the only goal as he launched onto French striker of Algerian descent Karim Benzema's brilliant no-look backheel through the legs of defender Bernardo Espinosa before firing home. Real are now only 6 wins. Or 5 wins and a draw from a second La Liga title since 2012. The arch rivals Barcelona's title hope suffered a hammer blow on Saturday as they were held to a 2-2 draw by Celta Vigo. Luis Suarez twice put his team in front at Balaidos with his first goal since January, but Iago Aspas bent in a late free kick to earn Celta a draw. Barca face an even tougher test on Tuesday against infam Atletico Madrid, who held off a late fight back from Alaves to win 2-1 at the Wanda Metropolitano Stadium. Atletico are now third, 4 points clear of Sevilla. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Bundesliga champions Bayern Munich ended their season by hammering 10-man Wolfsburg 4-0 at Volkswagen Arena. Kingsley Coman, Michael Cuisance, Robert Lewandowski and Thomas Muller were on target for the Bavarians, while Wolfsburg, who had Joshua Guilavogui sent off in the last 20 minutes, finished in 7th spot and will play in the UEFA Europa League group stage playoffs. Hoffenheim also booked their spot in the UEFA Europa League spot after thumping Borussia Dortmund 4-0 at Signal Iduna Park. Andrzej Kramaric scored all the goals for Hoffenheim as the visitors clinched a 6th spot, while Dortmund had no competition for 2nd spot that ensures automatic qualifications for the UEFA Champions League. Into some international news, former Germany striker Mario Gomez retired from soccer on Sunday after scoring in his last game for Stuttgart. Gomez, who turns 35 in July, was one of the best German forward of his time, winning the Bundesliga title in 2007 in his first stint at Stuttgart, then two more with Bayern Munich, which he joined in 2009. He also won the Champions League in Bayern's treble-winning season in 2013 before he left for Fiorentina. After two seasons in Italy, Gomez joined Besiktas to win the Turkish League title in 2016. Gomez also scored 19 goals in 52 games for Wolfsburg before rejoining Stuttgart in 2017. Inter Milan stepped up their Serie A title chase with a 2-1 victory over Parma in Sunday evening's encounter, thanks to Nigerian winger Victor Moses' assist. Late goals from Stefan de Vrij and Alessandro Bastini were all the black and blues needed to secure a comeback victory after going down to Ivorian footballer Javinho's opener. Cristiano Ronaldo also converted a penalty as Serie A leaders Juve routed 10-man Lecce 4-0 in Turin, with the defending champions opening a 4-point advantage over Scudetto challengers Lazio. The 5-time Ballon d'Or winner took his tally to 23 goals in Serie A this season, although he has been in the headlines for his lack of form since the 2019-2020 campaign restarted earlier this month following the COVID-19 crisis. Reporting for the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Prince Nesta in Eugene, Oregon.
Sporty greetings. This is Jonathan McKinstry, the head coach of the Uganda men's national team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, coach. Professional tennis is set to resume in a matter of weeks, but along with health concerns amid the global COVID-19 crisis, a two-time Wimbledon champion is voicing concerns about the upcoming schedule. VOA's Gwen Ooten joins us now with more details. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. In a perfect world, the Wimbledon Tennis Championships would have started on Monday, but due to the coronavirus pandemic, the Grand Slam tournament has been canceled for the first time in 75 years. However, other professional tennis tours are still on track to return. The men's and women's tennis season is set to resume in August, including the City Open here in Washington, D.C., and the U.S. Open in New York. The second week of the U.S. Open will overlap with a men's tournament in Austria, followed by additional September events in Madrid and Italy. Meanwhile, the women resume their 20-tournament circuit in August, first in Italy, then following the U.S. Open, the women will play in Madrid, Rome, Europe, and Asia Pacific through November. Add to that the rescheduled French Open at the end of September. In all, the revised ATP calendar features 7 tournaments in 7 weeks, a revision British champion Andy Murray says is simply not safe for players. And he tells Reuters News the crammed schedule will force many players to skip major events, which could affect their ATP rankings.
I think that they'll have to sort of think long and hard about what they're going to do with the ranking points and things like that, because it's not safe for players to go from, let's say, you play the final or the semi-finals in New York, and then you're playing on the Tuesday in Madrid at altitude on a clay court, you know, when the players haven't competed for a very long time. And you know, so you're going to have the potential where a lot of top players are not actually competing in many of the biggest events or the Masters Series, because none of the top players for a very, very long time have competed, you know, the week before a slam. So, you know, the rankings, if they could keep the points as they are, I think could get a bit skewed. And it might be worth potentially looking at like a 2-year ranking.
The 3-times Grand Slam champion was back in action last week in the Battle of the Brits charity event following a 7-month injury layoff. Murray called his return to the court encouraging, but said as professional tennis returns, he will err on the side of caution.
I wouldn't imagine I'd be playing any events between now and Washington. It's just so close to a slam, and I would hate to pick up a niggle or something that prevented me from playing in New York. So I would rather play Washington and miss the event the week before the U.S. Open if they all go ahead.
Murray is not the only player concerned about the overcrowded tennis schedule. It's been reported that world number 2 Rafael Nadal is also considering skipping a Grand Slam event. Sonny, this could be a case of how much action is too much, especially for veterans of the sport. I'll hand it back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. And that wraps up the June 29th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation of the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's Newsmaker Interview Program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues. It's about listening to them and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bubu music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa.